Mr. Pullen, reel 17.
One general question. Which did you prefer? Foreign service commissions or service in home waters?
Foreign service.
Why
every
was that?
Time. Yeah, foreign service.
Why was that?
Well, it was always warmer and you got more settled down. You didn't know what ship we would be remaining in if you was in no home waters. Perhaps today you'd be in a ship and tomorrow they'd send you to another ship. In fact, I did. I have three ships in a very short time. The Essex, a Booker, and the Bacchante.
Well, why was it good to be on one ship for a long time?
Why
did you prefer being on one ship for a long time?
Well, because it was you get more settled. That was a 2-year commission, usually, you see. You got settled down and you were far better off in a way, you know. Lots of little things happened, you know. You could get washing done and a suit of clothes made by the Chinese if you was in China. Cheap, you know. And in different parts of the world you could get lots of odds and ends done that you couldn't get done in England.
What other sort of odds and ends could you get done?
Well, like washing and boot repairing or a new pair of shoes made. Things like that if you want them, see?
What about being away from home for such a long time? Didn't you mind that?
Oh, no, I was single, so it didn't make any difference to me.
Now, when you went out to the China station in 1905 on the Bacchante, were any special preparations made aboard the ship for going out to the China station?
Oh, yes. Everything had to be done up, you know, because we took an admiral out there to take over, Admiral Barry. As far as I can remember, that was the name, look, see? So, great preparations had to be made, you know.
What sort of preparations?
Cleaning the ship up. Making her look, you know, painted up and dressed up like a doll in a way, you know.
Was there more spit and polish when you were on foreign stations?
Oh, yes. Yep. So plenty of spit and polish there.
But more than when you were in home?
More than when you was in home waters.
What kinds of things would you do if you were on foreign commissions that you wouldn't do in home waters as regards spit and polish?
Not much, I don't think. I don't think we do much, you know. Really the same old routine had to come over all every day. Paint ship, clean ship, and tore off as requisite. And of course the ships was always kept up nice and clean for foreigners to have a look at, you know.
Now this trip out to Hong Kong was your first foreign commission. Was it an interesting trip?
Yes, yes, it was.
What do you remember about it?
Inasmuch as seeing all these Chinese sitting about in their floating homes, you know. Very interesting, really. And you could always get a nice meal from them. Cheap. Chickens and stuff like that, you know, see? What you couldn't get in home waters.
Now, when you got out to foreign waters, did the routine aboard ship vary at all, as compared with home waters?
No, not much, very little. Still the same old routine had to go on, you know, see? But I think the officers had better times then, look, see?
In what way?
Playing golf and you know, all stuff like that, you see. Their main sports, what they used to play at.
Did you get any shore leave when you were in Hong Kong?
Any stories?
Any shore leave when you were in Hong Kong?
Oh, yes, shore leave. go ashore in the afternoon, stop all night, come aboard 7 o'clock in the morning.
Now, where did you go when you were in Hong Kong?
Oh, we just mooched around, having a look around at the bazaars and different.
Were there certain places in Hong Kong where sailors would congregate?
Well, there were, you know. There was some of these, like you got in London, in a way of speaking, you know, where sailors amalgamate and get wrong. And,
well, where in Hong Kong? Tell me the places.
Well, I can't exactly. There were different cafes and places like that, you know, you see. Nothing great about it, place, no more than it was sailors that get there because it was cheap and nasty, I suppose, in a way of speaking.
But were there any particular places you went to when you were in Hong Kong? Where did you go to stop overnight?
Oh, we'd go to a sailor's home, you know, see. Usually sailor's home in these places, see. If it wasn't a navy home, it was a merchant seaman, what they used to call a flying angel, look, see? But nothing great really about it all.
Now, in 1910, you went to the Mediterranean station on the Swift Shore?
Yeah, Swift Shore.
Yes. Where did you commission from?
Portsmouth.
Yeah. Tell me about the preparations before you went out to the Mediterranean aboard ship.
Well, the ship had already commissioned, and I was a stranger on board, see. And the queer thing about it, we had a goat on board, that was the mascot. And just as I arrived on board, they piped, clear lower deck, everybody aft. And this goat butted me, you know, going through the screen doors. And I thought it was the master at arms, you know, see? Thought I wasn't getting there quick enough. But when we got back, I killed this big goat we had on board. And after that, all the commission, we had fun with that goat.
What sort of fun?
Oh, well, we was in a bullfight in Spain, and a fellow named Bidgood, he threw the matador's cloak. He got it somehow. And about 11 o'clock that night, we come back on board. And it was in Moss at the time now. And the sailors were all sleeping on the upper deck, in the warm, you know. When we got the goat up on the forecastle, and we were having a bullfight out there with the goat. That was the matador, see. It's all good as a goat, you see. Mm. And we kept that goat all the commission. And when the commission was up, they sent it to the Whale Island, the gunnery school. And you know, it was going through the gas chambers then. That goat went through the gas chambers with lovely things like parrots, Persian cats. Everything had to be good. It went through the gas, you see, chambers. But that goat come out, that went through the gas chamber. All right.
The gas chamber was to sort of fumigate things, wasn't
yes,
it?
It was. Well, you know, they had gas chambers going then to,
yeah.
Because of the gas that was being used in the war, mustard gas, see?
I see.
Well, mostly evolutions. Trying to get the ship's company in a hurry to get the ship done in case of war, such as clear ship for action. And out-net defense. Battleships in them days carried nets, torpedo nets, you know. These nets used to drop over the side, and it was on iron booms. The booms used to go out, about 12 foot out, and that was for torpedo hit that net, you see. It would explode before it hit the ship. So we was always at evolutions, and I know the Swiss Shore, she was first in all the revolutions except out-net defense. And then we sort of got some UFOs made. That was about five wires on one ring. and the cranes would lift out and lift those nets inboard quicker than what the men was doing it with the brows, you see, in the other battleships. So we had we used to get a make men for every evolution we'd done quicker than any other ship out there.
What did evolutions consist of exactly? What were all the evolutions?
Well, clear ship fraction, out net defence.
Sorry,
out net defence.
Out net.
Net, N-E-T.
Out net.
Out net defence.
What did that mean?
Put all these out, get the booms out, pull the booms out, with the nets away from the ship, see? They used to drop about 12 feet below the surface of this ship, see? And we're all wire hawsers and taking ships in tow. The Swiftsure took the Triumph in tow once, and I should think there was about six men all damaged, broken legs and that, watching the wires, you know. As the Swiftsure pulled the wires out taut, these wires only went like that, see? Shook up against some of the men, and one fellow that I helped carried on the sick bay with a broken leg. Next time I saw him, he was a foreign captain in the Navy.
So evolutions were clear decks for action, out net defence.
Yes.
Was there any other evolutions?
Well, we all wire hawsers. And weigh sheet anchor. And he says, weigh anchor beyond then, you know. The captain bars and the capstans. And the band would be playing and we'd go around hauling up this, perhaps a 4-ton anchor, okay.
Would you sing when you were doing it?
Sing?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they sing just they do like they do down the Rio Grande.
What sort of things would you sing?
Oh, they do sing. We're bound with Rio Grande and somebody said the cat got the measles, you know, because as the band would strike up that tune, see, to get the captain going quicker, you know, see.
So
it was lots of fun, really, in a way, doing that work, although it was a very dangerous work all the time. Men was always injured. They used to, in the Swiftsure, they used to have one doctor forward and one doctor aft with the operating table, ready now for casualties. I've seen men with their arms broke, fingers all broke, you know, clear ship fraction when the Davies and all them had to come down. Carpenters, you know, get accidentally hurt. Oh, I see quite a lot of accidents. One fella got his hand jammed in the crane up aloft. There was only two ships that had cranes, you know, Swiftsure and Triumph. And these two ships, they were built for the Chilean Navy. And the Russia-Japanese war was on, and the Russians wanted these two ships to help fight the Japs. So we bought them from the Chileans.
Apart from the hawsers, what were the most common causes of accidents?
The crane in that ship. The cranes was some officers couldn't work the cranes proper, you know. They pushed the levers over too quick, and the cranes would swing one way and the other, you know, see. Especially getting in and out boats. Oh, I've been up in a launch and the thing been swinging backwards and forwards and hit up against the funnel. And they've been shouting to me, get down in the boat, because I've been up, you know, excited, you know, to see what's happening there. Because in them days, we didn't bother much about accidents.
What other kinds of things caused accidents?
Oh, we're an anchor.
What might happen then?
It wouldn't happen in the Swiftsure because the anchor was a bit used to fall out already. But the other ships I've been in, where the anchor had to be lifted off the side, And one fellow had his jaw all smashed, you know, where the captain buried him under the jaw, was he? That was letting go the anchor. And sometimes there was a job with a... When the anchor was coming up, it was all dirty, you know, see, mud from the sea. A man had a canvas suit on, and he was lower down there, and he had to wash all that mud off before the anchor came to its bedding, see? And one ship I was in where we lost that man overboard, looking at something else, you see. Found out he was gone.
Did you